This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Joy Powers. The COVID-19 pandemic continues to reach new heights in Wisconsin. For the first time, the 7-day average of new infections has reached 5,000 people. That's more than a 500% increase from just a couple months ago. Hospitalizations have soared as community spread has allowed the disease to infect and kill vulnerable people. Still, due to conservative opposition, Wisconsin lacks the same safety regulations that other states have implemented, and the Republican-led legislature hasn't taken any action to limit the spread of this disease. Without swift action and extra precautions, the future of this pandemic remains unclear. To learn more about the state of COVID-19 in Wisconsin, I'm joined by Dr. Laura Cassidy, the research director for the Institute of Health and Equity at the Medical College of Wisconsin. Dr. Cassidy, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect.
Thank you for having me.
We've talked at a couple different points in this pandemic, but never before have things seemed quite as grim as they do right now. I'd like to take a step back. How does the pandemic we're dealing with today really compare to what we've seen in the past and even just a couple months ago?
The pandemic today is worse. We have more cases, it's spreading more quickly, and we're entering a time where people are moving indoors, we're entering the holiday season, and I think the number of cases is higher than it's ever been.
If we look at the numbers in, let's say, October, September, we had far fewer cases, I know, but also far fewer deaths. How do those two compare?
Well, what happens is first people get sick and they're exposed and it spreads. And one of the problems is it spreads silently, sometimes because people don't know that they're infected and they may not have symptoms or may have mild symptoms. And so as more and more people get infected, it spreads to the more vulnerable communities and people who are at higher risk of a bad outcome. So this is what we call a lag. And then we see people ending up in the hospital. So it takes time for the caseload to grow, spread to vulnerable people. People end up in the hospital. And then a portion of those, unfortunately, do not survive the disease. But that may be even a few weeks after.
So what is the trajectory looking like right now? Because when you look at, you know, the kinds of charts, it seems like the spike is huge.
Yes, it is huge right now. And it's difficult to predict the trajectory because it depends on our behaviors. And we have it within our power to slow the spread. And if we can slow the spread, we'll slow the hospitalizations and we'll slow the deaths. If we keep ignoring it and give in to the pandemic fatigue, spike will just keep getting bigger.
Well, and that gets to this other question. As we're thinking about this spike, of course, we've seen cases spike around the world, but in Wisconsin, it's really bad. Our positive cases here are similar to large countries. What are some of the things that factor into this spike that we've seen?
So right now, what we're seeing is called community spread. In the beginning of the pandemic, we saw outbreaks in nursing homes, in prisons, in meatpacking plants where people were inside, densely populated, interacting, and the virus could spread quickly. And the health department was able to go in and effectively do contact tracing. So now when we have community spread, it's all over the state. And, you know, we know the incubation period or the latency period where people from the time they're exposed to where they may show symptoms can be up to 14 days. So if they're out interacting with other people, they can be spreading the virus. And so what we're seeing now is a lot of the spread is occurring in families and in social gatherings in homes. People still worry about going out. There's no sporting events we can go to or big performances. So they're gathering in homes thinking that that's safer when in fact it's spreading faster that way. And I know the Milwaukee Health Department has worked very closely with our restaurants in the city to come up with health and safety plans that are approved by the health department. And so you're actually at higher risk going to a party at somebody's home than you are going to a restaurant where they have deep sanitation cleaning, safety protocols on distancings and face coverings. Whereas when you go to somebody's home and go to a party or a dinner party, it can spread much more easily.
You know, I think a lot of us, as the pandemic has worn on, have tried to kind of expand our circles to include more people in our lives. But what are some of the issues with doing that?
Yeah, especially right now when the rates are so high and the community spread is so high. Right now, I hear more people telling me they know somebody who has COVID or a family member or a whole family. So even with good friends who I think, oh, I'd love to see them, a couple of days later, I hear that they've been exposed or they have a family member who's sick. So right now isn't really the time. Right now's the time to minimize your interaction as much as possible. And none of us like that. And it's hard, and it's going to be hard with the holidays approaching.
Yeah, I think many of us are a little leery of how to handle things like Thanksgiving, like Christmas, because of course you want to see your family, but that's a difficult situation, especially when you have intergenerational people all gathering at once. There's a lot of concerns there. Do you see safe ways of celebrating the holidays with family members, or are we at a point right now where people should really be staying in their homes?
Well, we're really advising people to celebrate with your immediate family members, because we love our families and we don't want to put them at risk. And if we have to travel, then there's another opportunity to spread the virus. And I tell myself this isn't the last holiday and I want to have more holidays with my family. So, you know, a quiet holiday this year would be preferable. And that's what I just adjusted my mind to, is having a quiet one this year and then having a big one next year.
We've talked about the need for physical distancing just in general. But, you know, we're talking about, of course, a situation where it may not be safe to celebrate holidays with our family members. What other kinds of extra precautions should people be taking?
Yes, well, definitely always physical distancing, face coverings, and hand washing, and minimizing the time that you're inside with other people interacting. So, you know, that we understand that can be difficult, but most businesses have been very careful about their safety plans. So if you go to the grocery store and you do those things, that's good. You can still sit outside with friends physically distanced. I mean, we are in Wisconsin, we're tough. We can sit outside in the snow, right? But I really think minimizing your interaction with other people to the extent possible is what really has to happen right now. And doing it voluntarily and keeping our local economy going by practicing safe behaviors.
To take a bit of a left turn, as cases have risen, we're also seeing a rise in hospitalizations. What is the situation at hospitals around Wisconsin?
Yes, and this is very concerning because we're at about 88% hospital capacity, which means only about 12% of our beds are left. And while these aren't all COVID patients, people do go to the hospital for other reasons. So we want to make sure we always have available hospital beds for people. And we want to make sure we keep our frontline workers, our hospital workers, healthy and safe, and they get the rest they need and that they're able to care for the patients in our communities.
You mentioned, of course, that a lot of the beds are taken up right now. They have these kind of makeshift hospitals that have, there's one at the state fairgrounds. Is that something that we're starting to utilize?
I believe when I checked, there were about 5 patients in there. And I believe the goal of those is to reduce the burden on the hospitals for patients who are recovering and aren't quite ready to go home yet. So it is a good safety precaution to have in place.
So there's something that we have and are using, but luckily it seems perhaps those aren't overburdened yet.
No, they don't appear to be.
Now, if you're diagnosed with COVID-19, you start to have symptoms, what kind of care do people have access to right now?
Well, if you're diagnosed with COVID-19, and depending on your symptoms, generally you stay home, you isolate, you treat it like the flu. If you get concerned where your fever's higher or you're getting sicker, you should call your health professional and talk to your doctor. And if the symptoms get very severe with extreme shortness of breath, dizziness, disorientation, then you should seek emergency care.
So that's when you're able to really go to the hospital for treatment, which leads me to believe that most of the people who are at the hospital for COVID-19, they have pretty serious symptoms.
Well, if they're hospitalized, yes, they have very serious symptoms, I would imagine.
There was a concern at the beginning of the pandemic about ventilators. Is that something that people still have access to, or are those also being overburdened?
Yeah, right now we're fine with respect to ventilators. We have plenty of ventilators available. And I think what has happened is we've gotten better at testing, diagnosing earlier, and treating patients. So I don't think that that's a critical concern right now.
Good. You answered this last question a little earlier, but I'm curious. We don't know the future, but if we want things to level off, if we want to see this decrease, what should we be doing?
Well, we do know that people give the virus to each other. It's a respiratory virus. It comes out of our nose and mouth and goes in through people's eyes, nose, and mouth. Sometimes surfaces become contaminated with the virus and people touch it and then touch their face, and it can be transmitted like that. So since we know people give the virus to each other, that is why we have to stop interacting to the extent we can to slow the spread. And if we have to interact, I mean, everybody doesn't have that luxury. Some people, you know, work with other people. That's their job. You know, people in healthcare, people in transportation, people in restaurants, and they have to stay employed. So then that's where the face covering helps. So it's not one or the other. It's layers of protection. You want to stay as far away from somebody as you can, and you want to wear a face covering, and you want to use hand sanitizer. It's not one or the other.
All right. Well, Dr. Cassidy, thank you once again for joining us here on Lake Effect and sharing your expertise.
And thank you for having me, Joy, and for all your efforts to get important information out to our community.
Dr. Laura Cassidy is the research director for the Institute for Health and Equity at the Medical College of Wisconsin. She's also the director of the PhD program in public and community health and the Division of Epidemiology.